This is the crossover. Hosted by Chris Brockman.
Crossover. All right, welcome to the crossover. I have no idea what episode this is anymore. I think I stopped keeping track. But since we are in the middle of the fantasy football and NFL season, this is ROFFL. This is what we're talking about right now. Week 9 coming up. Man, no idea where the season has gone, but I know what's happening in the ROFFL right now. It is a runaway, and my guest is the man in first place. You know him as the 2004 and 2005, the only man to go back-to-back in our 13-year history. Nomads in the deep, Navi on the line. What's up, brother?
Going on. Thanks for the intro.
Yeah, you got it, man. Well, look, when you're in first place, when you're destroying everyone, you get a nice intro. I mean, look, you got 90 more points than everyone. You've only made 12 moves. You're 7-1. Life is good.
I got to be on this show more often. I'm loving this.
Well, you don't get this type of intro at home. Like, your wife doesn't give you that kind of intro. Your kid at work, you don't get this type of intro. Like, what gives?
I know, right? More people need to appreciate me. Let me tell you, it's been a great year, but ironically, it hasn't been the most exciting year for me. I think I'm so used to, like, stressing and making moves and trying to make things happen. It's like an autopilot almost, you know what I mean? I'm just waiting. It's like too unbelievable. I'm waiting for something bad to happen almost, you know? I've avoided injuries. God knows the entire league has been injured. Somehow my team has been on skates, so hopefully it'll continue out throughout the rest of the season.
I mean, look, I actually want to take some success, some part in your success this year. I want some kind of credit because when you think back to draft day, you and I kind of always sequester ourselves, whether it's on the bed or in another room, and you were wavering on what to do at quarterback. And having Dez Bryant, I looked at you like you had three heads and said, "What is wrong with you? Match him up with Tony Romo," and you didn't want to do it. Why didn't you want to do it? Let's go back to draft day. Why didn't you want to do it?
I think just investing so much on a team. I'm a Cowboys fan. I've been disappointed for so many years. I think I was a little worried to double down. But like you said, it's paid off. It kind of takes you back to, I don't know what year it was, maybe 06 or something. I remember when we were sitting next to each other on draft day, and I was talking about Drew Brees before he became big. Maybe it was his first year in New Orleans. You also talked me into that, so I got to thank you for that also.
I mean, look, if I could only give myself this type of fantasy advice, maybe I would have won one of these by now.
It's true. You have a lot of wisdom, but no trophies yet.
let's look at your team, if you want to break it down. Tony Romo's having a great fantasy year, 18 touchdowns. He's got 2,200 yards. Dez Bryant, you know, minus the blow-up, which is, you know, being overreacted over this past weekend. He has 8 touchdowns and over 600 yards. Antonio Brown was the right move to keep for you, 56 catches. But maybe your best move was, you took Demaryius with your first pick instead of maybe some other people, and you got Noshon off the waiver wire. Or did you pick him up, or did you draft him late? I forget. But man,
I think Noshon was off the waiver wire. I think what's really helped, like you said, I kind of was in front. I mean, this is a strategy that I guess Rich used last year, and I think Jared started going wide receiver heavy this past fight. And I had a lot of success with running backs last year, just picking them, in later rounds. So I decided that's what I was going to do this year. And, you know, you hit on guys, and it's easy street, and that's what's happened to me. You know what I mean? And the running backs, that was the weakest area for me. I mean, voting Rich, I think Gio was the worst pick of the draft, and I don't think that's panned out the way he would like it to be. But my 5 running backs are all, when you look at the season average, this is so unbelievable to me, in the top 20. So I have 5 running backs in the top 20 if you take out the Sean Marines and the people who played like 1 or 2 games.
Yeah, even
I had to like happen, which is pretty amazing. I think that's what's, you know, propelled my team to just run away with it for now, at least.
I mean, you got lucky in Buffalo with C.J. Spiller kind of being injured. Like, that's derailed VA's team and Fred Jackson. You know, look, we've seen this type of production out of Fred Jackson in the last 3 years. So we know what he was capable of doing it, but he never got a chance to get all the carries.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice paying for him cheap. Like, last year, I think it was the second pick for me, and it, you know, Spiller got out of the work. So this year, I said I was going to take the big backs that support the little backs, like Jacoby Bell, you know, supporting Reggie. And, you know, it's worked out so far, you know. You imagine these guys are going to miss games here or there. But I saw some crazy stat on NFL Network, which is true. You know, it's not a running, you know, this is the least amount of running plays per year, but AP has 200-yard rushing game. You know, like the person who was supposed to be money in the bank, the best running back out there, has 200-yard rushing game.
Right.
Which is what Terrell Pryor has, which was, like, mind-blowing. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. I didn't want to, once, you know, AP went and McCoy went, I didn't want to pick between Lynch and Foster and all these people who I thought had question marks. I said, let me take the youngest, best receiver out there. So,
yeah, I think I think I was having this a text conversation with Brian Young over the weekend. And it was nice to see B. Young throw us a random thoughts. That was a nice
that was
a nice surprise and a great read, as always. I wish he would do more of those this year or bring it back for good. But we were talking about the draft, and I was talking about my own. It's like I really need to rethink my entire draft strategy because I kept a running back. I took a running back with my first pick, and I guess you could say my season kind of went in the tank right at that moment. As soon as I put Stephen Ridley's sticker on the board, you know, my season was I guess over. Because in a sense, I should have taken Reggie Wayne, not knowing he was going to get injured, or I should have taken Wes Welker. Who would have known Wes Welker would have 9 touchdowns through 8 weeks?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
He was the top wide receiver until Calvin, I don't know what kind of game that was, until he went crazy.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. But, you know, think about, if you look back to the draft and then kind of what we know now, what are some of the big surprise guys for you? Which teams in the league are you surprised at? Or, you know, is everything kind of shaken out like you thought as we left Baltimore?
It's just surprising. I think this is probably the best week in the league when you look at all the matchups and what there is. I'm very surprised. I mean, a lot of our league, because it's heads up schedule, and I'm still pretty amazed that Josh took that his team on paper is pretty solid. I thought it was solid coming out of the draft, and I still think it's pretty solid. I'm still holding out. You know, I think there is a chance he still can make the playoffs. He's got to win more, but I think it's definitely possible. You know, a lot changes between the draft and now. I mean, some teams were doing I texted Jay several times. Like, I don't normally feel bad for teams in the league. You know, you just want to win.
Right.
But I really feel bad for Kander. I think he was just doomed. If you look at his 4 keepers, which I guess were 4 keeper possibilities, which were Cobb, Amendola, Brady, and Holston, there was no way he was going to win this year. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen for him.
Yeah. And sometimes you just don't. I mean, I think I didn't have my keeper options coming into the year were pretty bad as well. And, you know, you look at Atlanta has kind of imploded on itself. Matt Ryan certainly not being helped with Roddy White being injured the whole year. And then Julio Jones goes down.
Yeah.
And now teams are double teaming Tony Gonzalez, which is essentially rendering him useless.
True. Seems like he's kind of given up, too. I think he realizes his window's gone, so I don't know how hard he's playing. I mean, you should have gone with luck. You said it all along, man. You should have gone with luck and
Hilton. That's what I was saying coming into the draft. But I didn't have a better keeper option. Mike Wallace was awful. And he hasn't really done much to kind of make me think that I was wrong.
But what I've learned is going younger is always better than older, because when they break down, you don't feel as bad at yourself. You know what I mean?
And plus, you want to give yourself keeper options. You know, the more options you can have a keeper. I mean, look at a team like Jarrett. Like, he had the best keeper options and the most keeper options coming into the year. And, you know, Rich Kiss last week on the show said that he thought Jarrett was the worst 5-2 team he's ever seen. But Jarrett is 5-3, and he's in the playoffs if they would start today.
Yeah. low points against things. So it should be interesting seeing which of those guys is for real. Because I think Watson is going to make a move. I think he'll probably end up in the playoffs, so someone has to be out. I don't know who that's going to be, but that team looks really good on paper now. I think he did a really good job on the waiver wire. If you look at, you know, he's got Allen, Terrence Williams,
yeah,
and again, he really did a good job picking up those guys.
You know, that's one of the biggest things coming into this year that was different in years past. Normally, it's the Wild West free-for-all. On Sundays, you know, as soon as someone scores a touchdown, everyone scrambles to see if he's available, and then everybody picks him up, or whoever, you know, someone picks them up first. But this year, you kind of look, you see, oh, that guy is available. Then you see where you are in the waiver priority, and if it's worth, like, if you have a top, you know, one of the top few choices, waiver priority picks, you kind of mull over whether or not it's worth it, putting in a claim or not. Like, how do you see this new waivers working out for us? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
It's different. I like it. I like it because it's, I think, different, but it seems to be working. I think it's still, I think people are trying to figure out, you know, there's a group of people who just every week just go after who they want, and they don't care about the waiver priority. And then you can see their owners who really hold on to that, you know, top spot. I don't know if they're waiting for a big person to be dropped or what exactly. So I think everyone's just feeling what they want to do with it. I'm still trying to kind of figure that out in some regards, but I kind of like it. I think it evens it out, and it does, you know, I think Sherman said this one, it kind of separates you from being in front of a computer to make moves. You can just kind of watch the game to absorb everything and then go back and digest it, and I kind of like that idea. As opposed to, you know, I was traditionally one of those people who would pick up like 10 people right away and do all that stuff. I kind of like this more sit back and give everyone a fair shot at it.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about it. I guess it's been a frustrating year for me. You talk about points against, you know, Josh has faced the most points. I've faced the second most, and so in that regard, it's been kind of a frustrating year. So the waiver wire is like, I guess when I was talking to Scott about it, it's, are you going to waste a waiver wire pick on someone who's just going to end up sitting on your bench? Like, if you're going to put in a claim for somebody, it's someone you think that can start for you, right? Is that the kind of the strategy you think people use?
Yeah, I think so. But then you got bye weeks and all that stuff. I think early in the season it's definitely so. And then as the season goes on, and God, how many injuries there have been, there's no more depth, you know what I mean? And I just don't know what you wait on for. Do you hope something is, you know what I mean? I feel like at a certain point the waiver wire starts to dry up.
Yeah.
Unless then you get to the playoff run and you're looking, I don't know, defenses or whatever you're looking for at that point.
Yeah, I guess maybe the rotating defense or something. But can you remember a year where the top half of the league is just so much better than the bottom half of the league?
Oh man, I was talking with Scott about this the other day. It's kind of like the NFL. There's the haves and the have-nots. You know what I mean? There's just some big teams, and then there are teams that are just are out of it. I think you could pretty much say there are teams that are completely out of it, which you don't normally want to say in Week 8, but I think it's definitely true.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, I would think the bottom five have absolutely no chance. I mean, Nick's 3-5, but he's only scored 800 points this year. I mean, sure, he might have thrown up 150 this week, but 80 of that was Andy Dalton and Marvin Jones, which you can't. If you want to look at quarterback receiver combos over the years,
that might be the greatest one ever.
That might be the best one ever. I was trying to think back to when I had Tom Brady and Randy Moss in 2007. They had a game where Brady had 5 TDs at Buffalo, and I can't remember how many Moss had that week. But that might have been the only time that it got close to 80. But they had 80 points.
Oh, I know, that's amazing.
But so I would say, Nick, I mean, I love you, buddy, but I don't think you're going to get 80 out of Andy Dalton and Marvin Jones every week. So the bottom five really have no chance. Maybe Josh could, he's got to get hot. He's got to win the last 5 games to get into the playoffs. Maybe 6-7 because he has the points, but he's going to need some help.
That's true.
But then you look at the top with yourself and Parker and Nick and Dave. Man, oh man, you guys are tough beats right now.
Yeah, and they're two surging teams. I think they played each other this week. I think German plays Rich, which should be a really good game. You know, they both have pretty. They're both teams I don't want to face in the playoffs. Let's put it that way. I think they both have a lot of weapons and they can score at any time. So I'm just trying to figure out who's going to hit that eight spot. And I mean, I really believe in all these stats Scott says. You know, I don't think finishing one ever is good. You know what I mean? Because that means that you haven't had your adversity yet. So I'm a little worried going into that. I just hope I get a more of a softer opponent than some of the big people. I don't want to play Rich. I don't want to play Sherman. I don't want to play Scott if he's searching at that point.
Yeah, that was a really interesting article by Scott. I'm looking for it. How long ago was that? Is it Abandon All Hope? Yeah, that was it right there.
Yeah.
Has a number one team ever won the championship?
They've never made a championship game.
A number one has never made a championship game.
Yeah, which is not a good stat to have.
Is that ever? Is that to end the year, or was that just going into week 7?
I think it's ever. But I don't know, actually. Because I thought that Jason finished first. I thought Chanta finished first his first year.
Yeah, I thought you were right. I mean, the article was going into week 7. The first place team has never made the championship game. Actually, what's crazy is going into week 7, if you were in first, second, third. Oh, wait, sorry. First, second, fourth. Never won a championship. If you were third, you've won twice. Where's he pulling all these numbers from? Is he getting all this info from Mark or the?
Well, he has some sort of crazy spreadsheet. Like today, he was telling me, or yesterday, he was telling me that he played 10 times and we finished 5-5. The 5 years he has beat me, he's made the playoffs. In the 4 years, or the 5 years that he's lost to me, only 1 year he's made the playoffs. He has like some sort of crazy Excel sheet where he pulls up all sorts of stats. He also, he was trying to butter me up for me to kind of have a loss and be okay with it.
Right.
The 5 years where I have beat Scott, I finished first, second, third, and then last year 11th. So losing to Scott apparently is a good omen for my team. So we'll see how it goes.
Interesting.
But he has every stat imaginable. Like, he can tell you, like, how people do after, you know, the years after they get married or something like that. You know, a person researched them a lot of times. It's pretty amazing what he can pull out of that.
I wouldn't doubt it. Like, if you've had a baby or the second baby or, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If your second baby's name has an R in it, I don't know.
The year of your birth or, your month or whatever. Yeah,
just
that's crazy.
Just couple articles because he has all these. You don't even need much commentary. You just need the numbers. It's pretty interesting.
So this is just his own binder of stuff that he's accumulated and calculated?
I think he might have imported a lot from Mark, because Mark did a lot of that stuff early, and then
Right. Exactly.
He's kind of been able to sort it and add more. Because he kind of does this, I don't know if you follow, you know, he writes for this fake football site now, too. And
right.
He has this column called The Matchup Machine, and he kind of, I think he follows as the year goes on, tabulates people's, you know, points against and whatnot, so he can figure out what the best matchups are. And I think that really helped him last year to that epic 13 games in a row. So he kind of believes in that. You know, I think Brian said in his article, he really does believe in the numbers. It's kind of different than how we, or most of us, do fantasy football, which is, you know, we've got a team or think of a good matchup. But he's really analytical with his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess as analytical as I get is looking at the team defensive numbers. So, you know, if a team is good against the run or good against the pass, maybe that'll make me rethink whether or not I'm going to start someone. Yeah. But not to that extent. I mean, it maybe has a small fraction of whether I'm going to play, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew or Marquez Colston or somebody.
I think for the most part, most of us don't have benches that big that affects it, but I think where it does help out is figuring out who the next person on the waiver wire is, and, you know, teams whose offense starts clicking or schedules coming up and stuff like that. That is a little beyond me, but I guess Scott has to figure out how to do it.
Right, and like you said, that's the matchup this week. You versus Scott, first versus ninth. Are you worried about Scott's team? Christ, Calvin Johnson just came off the second greatest receiving day ever.
You know, what I'm thinking on is that I was, you know, everyone was bitched after a game. Antonio Brown bitched and he had that massive game against, I think it was Minnesota. Frank Gore bitched, he had two touchdowns next time. I think Dez Bryant's going to have like four touchdowns. I mean, after that blow up, he's due to have like the most massive game against Minnesota. I can see Romo like just peppering him just to shut him up. Oh my gosh. But yeah, his team, you know, Calvin, like, I mean, he should have like four touchdowns too. He was like tackled within the five. How many times? Three or four times?
Look, first play of the game, he went 87 yards and got tackled at the four. And then right there at the end, he got tackled at like the 1 foot line.
I mean, I think I call him like a LeBron of football, but it's amazing. Like last week, the week before that, at triple coverage catch. You know, like Stafford doesn't even aim. He just throws it up and he'll go and get it. I've never seen something so ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it doesn't matter how many people are there.
It doesn't matter. He just, you know, it doesn't matter how many people are around. You could put 11 guys on him, and if Stafford threw it up to him, I'd be like 89% confident that he was going to catch it.
Yeah, it's amazing. He doesn't even have bigger numbers.
Yeah, it's incredible. We're really not seeing anything like this, even with Jerry Rice. I mean, this is just incredible.
Well, you're in that battle, man. I guess I imagine Jay's going to win the.
I am in that battle. Well, him and I are playing this week. I do have a 75-point lead on him, and a one-game advantage. It hasn't been this dire straits for my team in a long time. And you know, maybe I've got to hit rock bottom. Look, the Red Sox hit rock bottom last year, and now we're one win away from the championship. Yeah, they were awful. They had nearly the worst record in baseball. New manager, so they got rid of all those guys with the big contracts last year.
Yeah, they all
bought into this bearded thing, and you know, good clubhouse, and you know, team chemistry is really important in a sport like baseball. So
I'm following that chapter actually. After my loss tomorrow, I stopped shaving, so I'm growing a little bit of a beard.
Oh, really? Send me a photo so I can include your bearded photo with the write-up.
It's like pubic hair on my hair. It's not even close to a beard, but I'll send you a picture.
You have a Clay Buchholz-type mustache as a beard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Some other good matchups this week. You mentioned it. Rich and Jay kind of face off. Jay lost this week but had one 4 in a row. Rich has won 4 in a row after starting the year 1-4. Dave and Jarrett, that's a good one. Brian at 4-4, currently locking down the 8th seed against Parker. That's a good matchup. What do you see out of those?
That should be a good one. I think Parker, Parker's actually, obviously Manning and Casey have driven him pretty well, but he's had a couple of very good pickups too. Ellington and some other people to help him fill in, you know. He's bossed off and he's got Golden Tate seems to be picking it up. So I think Kaepernick is off too, so they both had to fill up their buys. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I think I'm surprised that Parker's team really held together so well after some of the losses, but that he's had on his team. But it should be a pretty close game. I still think he's going to finish second for the year. Who else was there? Damon knows. I don't know exactly what's going to happen there. I really think that the end stretch for both of these teams is going to be very crucial to see exactly where they'll end up if they can keep it going in some regard.
Yeah, you look at Parker's team. Parker actually has Peyton Manning on a bye, and his backup, Michael Vick, probably isn't going to play this week. So you got to figure Parker's putting in a claim for Alex Smith, right?
Yeah. Claim or he just waits for him to come off.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
But there's like, well, Parker, he's West Coast time, but there's the really early Wednesday morning pickup. Rich and Cantor normally always pick up someone right around.
Because they're awake at that hour.
Yeah, definitely. I'm awake at that hour, too. I just never find anyone I like.
I guess Parker could start, Alex Smith, maybe. Ryan Tannehill, probably. It's going to be one of
them. You know, there's a stretch of not starting anyone that Sherman liked this team so much he didn't want to let anyone go, and he didn't even play a tight end last week.
Oh, is that true? I didn't notice that. Mark hit me up and wanted to go without kickers, which, again, it wouldn't have mattered, but he threw that idea out of not starting a kicker. But you mentioned Golden Tate on Parker's team. Did you watch the game last night? What did you think of Golden Tate's chirping antics at the 25-yard line?
I mean, the flag went out right away. That was the most impressive part of it.
Yeah.
The moment the hand came out, the flag came out. But, you know, I'm sure you got to talk into it, but I thought it made for good TV.
I was watching. I didn't watch really any of the Monday night game. I happened to flip over during in between innings of the baseball, right as that play happened, and when he started doing the, you know, it was almost like, you know, Johnny Football does like the money thing. He just kind of did the keep talking, and you're right. The flag went immediately out, and I started laughing. I thought it was hilarious.
It's amazing. It's the second touchdown of the game. It was unlike the guy that scored.
Yeah, and it was a one point game. It was what, 7-6 at that point? And I just thought it was really funny, and I kind of posted, like, look, if somebody talks smack and you punk them, you get to talk smack back. Like, yeah, it was stupid, but I got a lot of heat on Twitter for that, and I just thought it was, my initial reaction was that it was funny. Like, I just thought it was
funny. Oh, that was fun. To me, I wonder what was being said during the whole game. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. You know, what kind of provoked that? Because, you know, for him to do that at the 25-yard line, like, he's still a long ways from scoring. And he's got the ball up in one hand and his hand out in the other. I just, like I said, it was just really amusing to me that he would do that. But it was definitely stupid.
Yeah, it was nice.
What else in the NFL has caught your eye? This has been kind of a weird season, week to week, especially for me. I can't figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. As far as, like, the teams are, it seems like the playoff races are pretty much done except one spot in each division. Which I never thought this early in the season you would kind of see. There's a lot for that, like, second wild card spot, but it seems like the rest of the league is pretty settled in. And, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan. I can't. The NFC East to be something, but now it's crazy.
Well, you take a look. The Eagles are one game back, and the Giants are two game back. I mean, I don't think you could declare that over. I mean, how do you feel as a Cowboys fan?
Yeah, first safe as a Cowboys fan. Until Troy Aikman comes walking out through that door, I don't feel safe. But still, they're pretty, they're sad. Either way, I mean, the Cowboys are not very good. Let's face it. They've become too conservative. I mean, I think Dez is completely right. I mean, Ingram was more worried about throwing the INTs and containing them, and that's not how they're going to win. But, you know, like Rich was talking about the Giants last week, and, like, the Eagles now even, you know, that offense is just sputtering and they have no defense. I don't think the Redskins are very good either, so.
No, I don't either.
Just that division to be part of. Yeah. What's really surprising is how good the AFC West is. I mean, the Broncos, obviously, the Chiefs, that's amazing turnaround. They had the first pick last year. How do you go from first pick to 8-0? You know what I mean? And I don't know if they lose again until they play the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kansas City goes to Buffalo this week. Not a cakewalk. I mean, by any stretch.
Yeah.
Buffalo's played hard. They played some good teams, tough at home. I expect them to win, to be 9-0, and then they, you know, bye week and then Denver. But look, Oakland hosts Philly. They should win, and they're going to be 4-4. San Diego, they go out to Washington, and they should be 5-3. The AFC West is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty good division.
I mean, are you a believer in the Colts?
I mean, they've had three solid wins, so it's tough. You know, I mean, when you beat all three Super Bowl contenders, it's tough not to take them seriously. It's really interesting, though, with that whole Kyle Richardson trade and how much slack Cleveland got and how much smarter they look for it now. You know what I mean? It's just...
Trent Richardson looks terrible.
Yeah, it's like, he knew something that no one else.
I mean, to get a first-round pick, and then there was the rumor last week of the Vikings maybe possibly trading Adrian Peterson, and you were thinking, wow, if Trent Richardson, and I've seen him play, and he looks awful, but he's worth a first-round pick, what is Adrian Peterson worth?
He's probably in the Herschel Walker category.
Right?
I can't see them spending AP, though. Like, who comes to the stadium for the Vikings if there's no AP?
Oh, nobody. I mean, you're not coming to watch Josh Freeman. You're certainly not looking for Greg Jennings. Man, has there ever been a bigger wide receiver bust?
No. I mean, I don't know how much of it is him and how much of it is the quarterback. That's the problem. There's no quarterbacks truly. I mean, I don't know if he's getting separation or what.
Packers have won 4 in a row. Do you like them as a Super Bowl sleeper?
Packers are... Yeah, I mean, it's all about their defense. I really think defense comes on at the end. I think New Orleans looks good because their defense is so good. Not against the run, obviously, but they're pretty good. I think the Packers will be in it. Seattle, I still like the best. Even though they've looked pretty shoddy, I just think if they can get the home way through, they'll be good. It all depends. I think it really comes down to who's going to have the best NFC record, because some of those teams are going to be very hard to beat at home.
Yeah.
Seattle, Orleans.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing today. I think for me, it comes down to, I mean, all due respect to San Francisco, they've won 5 in a row. Green Bay, like I just said, 4 in a row. Seattle and New Orleans, man, whoever gets the home field advantage throughout the playoffs, they're going to be the team to go to the Super Bowl, because like, you can't win at New Orleans, and you sure as hell can't win at Seattle, not with that defense, not with that running back.
Yeah, I could see, I mean, if it came between those two, I could see Seattle winning in New Orleans, to be honest. They can run against New Orleans, and they can stop the pass. They don't seem to be able to stop the run, but they have pretty good corners. So that's one matchup where I would actually take Seattle in New Orleans, but it would be very close.
I think that would be a really fun game. Do you think the Super Bowl winner comes from one of that group, or do you think Denver or Indy or maybe even Cincinnati or Kansas City, any of those AFC teams have a chance?
But if you had to say 3 weeks ago, I think Denver had a lockdown, but it's Denver's... I mean, Peyton, you get pressure to them, they seem a little susceptible. Especially what I've noticed the last 2 weeks, too, is you press on these receivers, they're not very good. Or they don't handle... Not that they're not very good. They don't seem to handle physicality very well. I mean, I think that's what Indy did to them, and their secondary is not very good. So it'd be very interesting for me to see how KC matches up against Denver. Not necessarily KC. I don't think KC has the offense to actually make it very far, but defensively, I think they match up very well against Denver. And Payton's become more human, throwing a couple more picks here or there. I don't see anyone else. You know what I mean? The Patriots, I don't know, man. What's going on with the Patriots in that offense? Can you tell me about Brady or any of that? What is happening to the Patriots?
It's not good. It's not good, man. You know, it's not good. We talk about this every Saturday in our game day morning meeting. You know, we got Kurt Warner sitting there, Marshall Faulk sitting there, Sapp, Michael Irvin, and nobody really knows. Like, Tom's a little off, obviously.
Yeah.
He's got his hands certainly looked bruised during the game. They showed that close-up. Looked like he's injured. I mean, you can only blame the receivers for dropping passes so often or so much before you kind of look at the quarterback. I don't know what's going on up there. That they're 6-2, they could be 2-6.
Yeah, I mean, that's a credit just to Belichick, I think, just the way it is. I mean, when they are very good in the clutch. I think Tom Brady is, he's almost the opposite of Manning. Manning is very good, but in the clutch, he has been off recently.
Right.
Like Brady, when they need him, he comes through. He hasn't had very good games, but in the clutch, that New Orleans game and some of the other ones, he's definitely been able to.
And you look at this week against Miami at halftime, man, it looked terrible. It looked like they were going to get blown out, and then the defense comes out. Makes a couple plays, forces turnovers, block kick, and voila, they win the game. I'm just glad that Stephen Ridley is starting to do something. Something.
Burrito should be on the way back, too. I don't know. That offense may get it back together. It's just, like you're saying, it's all on Brady. I don't know if it's, maybe it's just the health. Maybe they'll bring him back.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Before the season, I said Patriots Falcons Super Bowl, and that looks like it couldn't be more wrong. I guess if I was going to have to pick, who do you like before I give mine? Midway through the season, do you have an updated Super Bowl? I guess what was your pick before the year? Did you have one?
I think it's Seattle. Seattle. I don't remember who I liked in the AFC. I still don't even know who's. This was in the AFC. Denver, Indy. Who's coming out of East New Orleans? Oh, what about? I guess Cincy is too young to make it in either.
Yeah, I don't trust their running game.
Yeah.
At this point. But Dalton's certainly playing great. He has 11 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. I thought Pittsburgh would be much better than they are this year.
Oh, God, they're terrible, too.
I thought they would be much better. I don't know, because I saw less than Antonio Brown before. I just really thought they'd be better. I don't know who was going to win. I thought we were going to go out west either way. I thought it was going to be kind of a Seattle-San Francisco showdown, but now I'm not really sure. You know, the NFC seems to be beating up on each other, and I don't know. I think I will. Any of those cities, like, you put that poll out, I'd be fine with any of those cities. I can't see someone who wasn't on that list making it onto that list.
Yeah, that was. Rich and I were having that conversation last week, and so I threw that poll out. I think either one of those cities would be great. Seattle, San Fran, New Orleans. What did I say? Indy. And who was the other team? Was it Green? Did I put Green Bay on there? No. Oh, Kansas City. No, I didn't put Kansas City. Denver. I put Denver on there.
Denver, yeah.
I need to see more out of Kansas City. I need to see Alex Smith really win a game before I believe in them. But
Moore won a championship, even Tampa, with just the defense. So it's possible.
It's true. I think it's just a different NFL now than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They score more. You're right.
They score. You got to be able to score. You got to score touchdowns. And, you know, they haven't. Kansas City hasn't proven to be able to get the ball to the receivers. I mean, Jamal Charles is having an MVP year, and the defense is playing out of its mind, but...
Yeah, Nick Bowe is almost droppable now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
From being like a top 15 or something.
It's amazing.
You know.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
so you're thinking Seattle. You think next August will be in the Pacific Northwest. Is that what you're saying?
I'm
putting words in your mouth, but...
No, I definitely think that. The thing would be, if it's Seattle or Denver, I still see Seattle. I mean, I can't see a team from the NFC beating Seattle. It's just Seattle making it out of the AFC. Seattle making it past New Orleans or San Francisco. That comes up.
I think it's going to be one of those three teams that ultimately win the Super Bowl. I don't know if the Packers' defense can get healthy enough. I like New Orleans, Seattle, or San Francisco, and we'll have ourselves a good time.
It will be fun.
All right, folks, he won this whole thing way back in the day. Like I like to remind him.
Can I say this whole year has kind of been inspirational? I think I had a wake-up call on my whole draft strategy after you last
year. You're like a cowboy. It's been so long since you've won. People forgot. Like, you're just overhyped, exactly. Like Dallas.
That was definitely true, and so I thank you. Hopefully we'll keep this going on and win it again this year, or at least make a deep run and not be out in the first round like Scotty's, you know, wonder sheet says I will.
You got anything else? How's your baby?
Baby's doing great, man. She's doing very good. She's learning to throw. You know, babies don't learn how to catch. Let me tell you, catching doesn't happen. They throw, but you do not know how to catch. So she must have been hit in the head at least like 50 times with a ball. And every time she hits it, she just blasts it off, but she still doesn't understand the concept of putting her hands up.
Well, what is she, one? One and a half?
She's 16 months.
Nice. Well, I mean, I think she has no idea that she's getting hit in the head, you know, for starters, so that's good. And, you know, she's not going to remember any of that. And number two, there's still time.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should take some video evidence, maybe post it somewhere, and then we can reassess, you know, her catching ability.
Speaking of video evidence, how often do you say you watch your made field goal off the pass? Do you think you watch it like once a month?
Oh, yeah, I've watched it a lot of times. After we posted it, I went to the Around the League guys. Do you read the Around the League blog on NFL.com?
Yeah.
I went to those guys and I said, look, I was like, who's the kicker for Baltimore? Is it Justin Tucker? I went to them and I said, look, the first time Justin Tucker misses a short field goal, I was like, I want you guys to write a blog, post this video, and say, we got a kicking controversy because I know someone who can make a 25-yard field goal. I've watched it a lot. It's a pretty proud moment for me.
That was such a great, like, 45 minutes or hour or whatever that tour was.
It was like 2 hours. That's why the draft started so late.
Well, the tour was long, but I feel like we were on the field for, like, a legit 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah. No question. That was fantastic.
I wish I brought some of the turf home with me somehow. Some of that, like, $50 million floor or whatever to have put together.
What, were you going to bring some scissors and, like, cut up a little piece of the turf?
So, I got a draft board in my basement still. I'm holding hope that this is a championship year, so I can cut it up and, like, frame it square.
That's pretty good. You know, I took one of those Gatorade towels that I found in the locker.
Oh, yeah, you did get that. I do remember that.
I did. I took it. I have it. I use it to play basketball.
Nice.
And I think I took a couple of dry erase board markers. I was looking for anything. I was just taking getting my hands on it and just digging it out of there.
I would have
taken the little gator, the goalpost. I would have taken anything. What a fun time. Hopefully, wherever we're at, we'll be able to duplicate
that. Yeah, it's a good tradition. Again, something, I guess you started this idea, at least.
Yeah, it was a few years.
It's changing the league. It's just very slow.
Yeah, it's very slow. I can't win a championship, but I can make sure we're having a memorable time, I guess.
All about having fun, man.
You got it. He won this thing back in 04 and 05, and he is in first place, running, dare I say, running away with the league at this point. Nomads in the deep. That's Navi, buddy, on the ROFFL podcast. Thanks, pal.
Thanks for having me on.
ROFFL.